Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12 read, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And as they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter." Now we're getting into some really tough things that are going to take place. I mean, it's already been bad, but it's getting only worse from here on out. We're not going to be here for these things. And, you know, when you think, well, if we're not going to be here, why do we even have to know about them? Well, you know, it's a good question. One thing is that I think that he mentioned this for about 3 different reasons. Now, there may be more, but at least 3. Number one, so that we can rejoice knowing and get excited knowing that we're not going to have to go through this. I don't know about you, but if I was going to the doctor and they said, well, you're going to have surgery for a tumor on your head in a month, and when I got back and he told me, well, we've x-rayed it and the tumor's gone, you don't have to have that, I'm relieved. And I can tell y'all, I am relieved that we're not going to have to go through these things. My heart's broken because there will be people that have to go through them. But the ones that are going to be affected by this are those who have rejected Christ as their Savior. It's their choice. That's what's said. It's their choice. I think he extends this glimpse of warning to those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior. I think he wants them to know what they have in store for them. If they're alive during this particular time period, this is what's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, just the thoughts of hellfire have scared me pretty bad. But if I thought that I was going to have to go through this, it might make me stop and reconsider my position, especially if I was raised to believe the Bible was the Word of God. But you know what? We're living in a time period when a whole lot of people don't believe this is God's Word. They don't accept it. They will accept it as being something good to be read, and you know, it's good literature, but they don't accept it as God's Word. Problem is it doesn't matter whether they accept it or not, this is going to happen, period. And it's given so that those of us who know the truth, it might motivate us just a little bit to tell people about what's going to happen if they happen to be here at that time. Don't we have that responsibility? You know, you've heard me say it before, but it's just something that we really need to take seriously about telling people about Jesus Christ. You know what's really funny? If all of a sudden, let's say you're a teacher, and you went to Walmart, and they had on composition notebooks for a nickel apiece. Are you going to keep that information to yourself, or are you going to text every teacher you know, aren't you? That's good news. You're going to text that. If we go out of here this afternoon and somebody finds gasoline for $1 a gallon, are you going to keep that to yourself? Man, we don't have any problem sharing that kind of stuff. But why don't we share Jesus? He is the good news. The gospel is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. People are dying and going to hell even as we speak. We ought to be motivated by that to tell others about what we have found in Jesus, because He's better than $1 a gallon gasoline. He's better than a nickel a piece composition books. He's better than any promotional idea or any deal you can get in any store in this country or around this world at this time. He's better than all of those. So people are going to go through this, and I don't want any of my loved ones. I don't want my loved ones to have to go through this if He comes back in our lifetime, if this happens in our lifetime. I don't want them to go through that. I don't want them to go through the pits of hell either. So it's there to help us that are saved as well as to warn those who are lost. I want you to look at what happens. He says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. There's all kinds of speculation, and I'm telling you, if you read commentaries on the book of Revelation, you're going to get a whole lot of ideas out there of who this might be and what these locusts might be and all of that. What I do know is this. Somebody or something, someone is going to be given the keys to the bottomless pit. I personally, this is just my personal feelings and the studies that I've done, think this is going to be the old devil himself. And the reason I say that is because the tense in which the word fall is in is not that it fell right then, it's something that had already happened. He'd already fallen. And when I look into the book of Luke, I see where Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like fire. I beheld him fall from heaven. Satan, being Lucifer, was found sinful. He puffed with pride and selfishness and wanted to exert himself above God, and he was cast out of God's government. Jesus beheld that. I think it's the same star that we see here. I know it's not the star that we saw earlier because that one has a tail on it. It's a comet, more or less. But this one is a personality. And folks, it might be a famous personality. Lucifer is famous, isn't he? The old devil's as famous as you can get because everybody's always been talking about him. What does Lucifer mean? This is another correlation. Lucifer means brilliant star or light bearer or the shining one. So he fits the bill here for being this star. And he was given the keys to the bottomless pit. You know, that speaks volumes to me. You know what that says? That tells me that right now, Satan does not have that key. That tells me that right now, Satan is not in hell. Satan doesn't want to go to hell. He doesn't want to be in that bottomless pit. You know, people give the idea that he's the ruler over hell and that's his abode and all of that. Satan is as far away from hell right now as he can get. Because he knows one of these days he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he's not there. He's not ruling over this. This place was made as a place of punishment. And Satan's not there yet. He's going to be given the key of authority to this bottomless pit. It'll be a fearsome thing. Now look at this pit. It is it's bottomless, isn't it? Bottomless gives the idea that there's no place you can go, that there's not more to it. It's a deep place. It's the word abyss. It refers to a very deep chasm. Literally, it refers to a well. We can speculate all we want to about where it is. I personally think it's in the center of the earth. Because when you get to the center, there is, you can't say anything, it's all down. In other words, it's bottomless. It's bottomless. And you know what I think about when I think about the bottomless pit? Something that's bottomless can never be filled. Think about that. Even when I see these volcanic eruptions, I think of hell enlarging itself, making room for more. There's always room for one more in hell. Always room for one more. They'll make room for it. Hell, folks, originally was designed for Satan and his angels. That was to be their abode for all eternity. It was enlarged later to include man when man sinned. God never wanted man to be in this place. But right now, you've got some angels that are reserved there. We'll get to those here in just a moment. I want you to notice that there's smoke and fire, but the Bible teaches me that it is a place of darkness. It's a real and literal place. It's a place of anguish and a place of torment. And men can joke about it all they want to, but it's real. People say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. Well, folks, that's a fairy tale. Because hell is just as real as heaven is. The bottomless pit is there. It's a demonic place. It's a horrible plague that's going to come out of it. He's given this key to the bottomless pit. What he's going to do is he's going to go and he's going to open the door to the bottomless pit. Evidently, there are some angels that are reserved there right now. As I thought about this, I couldn't help but thinking about maybe a football team. Or maybe soldiers where they keep some in reserve. Or maybe you've got, I used to talk about hatchet men in basketball. They had two great big old dudes, their job was just to go out there and basically hurt somebody. They kept them in reserve until they needed them. Folks, don't think that all of Satan's little demons are housed in the bottomless pit at this time, because they're not. Read the New Testament and see about all the demons that Jesus had to deal with. There's some running around right now. But here's Bobby's thoughts. There are some that are so bad. They are so much worse than these others that he's held them in reserve. God has put them in the reserve, and he will only turn them or allow them to be turned loose when the time is right. Thank God they're not running around right now, because they're worse than any of the ones that we see now. And when I go back to that football analogy, I say, you know, there's always bench warmers, aren't they? And sometimes those bench warmers are worse than the fellas on the field. Sometimes there are fellas on the bench because they have an attitude that's worse than anybody else's. Sometimes the bench warmers are there because they are so violent, you can't put them out there. So God is going to allow Satan to open up the bottomless pit and let these reserve angels, the worst of the worst, so to speak, come forth. And they're going to come forth like a horde of locusts. I thank God we're not going to be here for that. I thank God for the ones that will be sealed that are here, the 144,000 and maybe some others that they have led to Christ by this time. But the rest of the people are going to have to suffer through this. And when they come out, he tells them, you know, he describes them as a swarm of locusts. But these are not insects, people. These are not insects. They're probably described this way because of the manner in which they come forth. They're just chomping at the bits, and all of a sudden, here they come. You know, it was said that a swarm of locusts in 1889 covered 2,000 square miles. That's just regular locusts. And guess what they eat? They eat the vegetation. But these locusts are told you do not harm the vegetation. They're not here for the plant life. They're not here for the trees. They are here to torment human beings for 5 months. To torment them. Now, I'm not talking about these, but I will tell you this. I have been in places where the mosquitoes were so thick And I believe off was their favorite meal. And you would take a limb and you just slapping and beating. And just the drum of their wings and the sting of their bites would literally drive you nuts. It took all I could do to stay hooked up and not run, trying to get away from that torment of just little bitty mosquitoes. So these people are going to be tormented day and night for 5 months with this terrible horde of demonic spirits that are coming forth from the bottomless pit. It says in verse 11 that they'll have a king over them. The book of Proverbs tells us that real locusts have no king. So these are not real locusts. These are, they're coming out like locusts. These demons will possess a power. They won't harm the vegetation, but they will hurt people with a pain that is beyond imagination. Look at the pain. This pain will hurt so bad, these people will desire to die, and they can't. I'm going to go back to my gout. Probably the worst pain I've ever had. Well, let me rephrase that. I've had two things that have hurt me so bad that if the Lord had come back right then, I'd have been happy. One was a spastic colon. If you've never had one of those, my best way to describe that is take a plate of spaghetti and curl a fork up in it like that. That's how it feels in your intestines. Or gout. I literally contemplated shooting my toe off. It hurt so bad. Now, folks, even a gout attack is only going to last for a few days. These people are going to be tormented for 5 months. They will not be killed. This sting will not kill them. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. They're going to seek death in many ways, and they can't die. They can shoot themselves in the head. Guess what? It won't kill them. They can't die. Can you imagine that? The pain so bad, you want to die, and you can't die. Not going to be any funerals during that time period because people can't die for 5 months. I'm going to tell you, I can't even imagine that kind of pain and trying to get rid of it, and you can't. There'll be no pills, no potions, no poultices will work. For 5 months they'll suffer and they'll find no relief from their suffering. I want to stop here and say this. This is amazing to me. You know, when they said they saw the sign of the Lord coming, what'd they do? They cried to the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them, didn't they? They didn't cry out for God to forgive them. They cried to be hidden from the Lord. Now they're being tormented, and instead of crying out to God, asking for forgiveness, they want to die. They think dying would be better than what they're going through. Let me tell you something. If they could die during this time period, their fate is sealed. They're going to hell. And hell's going to be worse than this. You know why hell's going to be worse than this? Because hell's going to last forever. This thing lasts for 5 months. Hell is forever. And people that say, well, I'd rather be dead than to be here, but they don't know Christ is their Savior, they do not know what they're asking for. I think a lot of people commit suicide thinking that death has to be better than this. If they're saved, I believe it is. But a lot of them are not saved. They're just following, they're under some influence other than the right mind. And they think that death would be preferable over this. It's not if you're not saved. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're lost, death is not the preferred way. You don't want to die without Jesus, because that torment will be forever and ever and ever. And as bad as that scorpion sting is from this locust, the fire that you're going to be in for all eternity is infinitely worse. And the separation that you'll have from the one that loved you enough to die for you will be infinitely worse. These people will beg to die. They'll try to die, thinking it's better, but it's not. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, why don't you ask God to forgive you? Why don't you seek forgiveness? They just want to die. It shows just how depraved man is. It just shows that some people, no matter what, are going to go to hell. And it's their choice. You can do everything you can to lead some people to Christ, and there's some of them that are never going to do it. Period. That's heartbreaking. That's sad. But it's their fault and not ours. Now look at these locusts. They are like horses prepared for battle, aren't they? They're straining at the bit. They're stomping their feet. They're ready. They have been restrained in that pit since they were put there before the world. They were, when Satan was found, when he was found to have sin, and a third of them following, however many of them there are of these, were put into this bottomless pit, and they've been there all this time. Man, they are ready for some action. And they come out of there chomping at the bits. They have golden crowns on their heads. They come to the earth as conquerors. And they're going to conquer these people. They're not going to kill them. There'll be no medicine or act of science that can destroy them. Their armor that they'll have on, no bullets are going to take care of them. Atomic bombs won't remove them. There's nothing that that humankind can do to take these locusts out. Folks, this almost reads like a horror film, doesn't it? Almost reads like a horror film. They'll have faces like those of men. That speaks of their intelligence. It reveals the emotions beneath the surface. They are intelligent. They know what they're doing, and they're going to do it well. They have hair like a woman. Maybe this means that they're attractive to people. You know, John's trying to describe something he'd never seen before. Maybe this means that they will appear as attractive to others. See, John's looking at it through the eyes of a saved person. I can tell you this, the old devil is not some dude dressed up in a red suit with a pointed tail and a trident. His angels are able to transform themselves into ministers of light. He doesn't want to scare you off, he wants to draw you in. Well, I don't know, maybe they do have an attractiveness. Maybe there's a seductive charm by which they lure their victims to them. People have always been drawn to the occult, haven't they? They'll have teeth like lion. Their bite is infectious and painful. Breastplates of iron. They're invulnerable to attack. And they are insensitive to the sufferings of human beings. In other words, they won't care. They will sting as many people as they can. And you can't do anything about it. Your 9mm won't touch them. Your 45 won't touch them. Your 30-06 won't take them out. Your flamethrowers won't do it. They're still coming. And men are going to suffer. They have wings that sound like chariots. It implies swiftness. It's going to be quick. I mean, that's how locusts go. They're fast. They move. You have a hard time staying in front of them. And this is what they're going to have. Now I want to tell you, before I go any farther, there's a lot of things you can speculate in the book of Revelation. Some people have looked at this and they have seen modern weaponry. Helicopter gunships with stings in their tail. But a helicopter gunship right now shoots bullets that literally destroy the person. That's not what's going to happen here. This sting is just going to be mentally and physically devastating, but the person can't die. They think, well, it sounds like the chopper blades coming. You can speculate all you want to on these things. And there's a whole lot of other things that we can speculate on in the book of Revelation. I don't know what it's going to be, but the one thing you can't speculate on is whether it's going to happen or not, because it is. We can speculate on when Jesus is coming back, but the one thing you can't speculate on is the fact that He is. We can speculate on exactly what is it that John sees. Did he actually see a comet that fell into the waters, or did he see a volcano that fell, or was it a volcanic eruption from the bottom? You can speculate all you want to, but the point still remains, it's going to happen. So don't try to explain this thing away. Just accept that whatever these are, they're going to be loose from the bottomless pit, and they're going to torment men night and day. Men are going to be inflicted with pain beyond imagine, and they can't die. Going to have the stings in their tails. And that, notice something else, they're going to have a king over them. A lot of speculation who that is too, but I want to tell you something. I think that's Satan himself. I think that's Apollyon, that's Abaddon. He's the one that is their leader. He's the one that they followed from the very beginning. When you go back to Isaiah and Ezekiel, and you see where Satan said, "I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt myself above the stars, and I will be like the Most High." And God cast him out of his government, and a third of the angels went with him. Folks, we don't have a clue how many angels God created in the first place, do we? But a third of them followed Satan. And evidently, some of them were bad enough, the Lord said, "I'm going to reserve you for when I need you later." And that's coming in the tribulation period. That's coming sometime after the middle of the tribulation. And it's not going to be pleasant here on this earth. How would you like to awaken one morning to find this creature standing in your bedroom and he's just waiting on you to get up? Again, it sounds like a bad horror movie, doesn't it? What are we going to do? Well, I thank God I'm not going to be there. And I pray that you're not going to be there. But the only way you'll escape this, if it happens in our lifetime, is to repent of your sin and trust Jesus as your personal Savior. And by doing that, if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, not only did you escape that, but you escaped hell also. And hell is worse than anything here on earth. Worse than the scorpions will be. You know, I don't have all the answers to this. And I don't know exactly what they're going to be or how they're going to look. Don't have a clue what the sting's going to feel like. I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I've been told it's one of the most excruciating pains that you can feel, and seldom do people die from a normal scorpion's sting. Those people are going to experience it for 5 months. I have escaped that. How about you? Have you escaped it? Another question. In my lifetime, I hope I've led a few people to Christ. If the Lord lets us live, we need to lead more, don't we? Because that's the only way they're going to escape hell, and it might be the only way they escape this trumpet. We have a responsibility to our fellow man to warn them to flee the wrath to come. Let's take that responsibility seriously.